But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I remember always being fascinated, you might say, by the testimony of Paul of how he got saved. And Christ spoke to Ananias. He said that he wanted him to receive Paul and to tell him how to be saved. And he says of Paul, he says, for I must show him what great things he will suffer for my name's sake. And I always found that fascinating, the idea, because we see in the ministry of Paul, he talks about being shipwrecked and being, stranded in the sea, about being beaten and stoned and imprisoned. And he knew at the beginning, apparently, told him by the Lord Jesus Christ that he was going to suffer these things. And he did. He suffered greatly. He was stoned and left for dead. Some people have speculated that he actually did die and that the Lord brought him back. But he was stoned, he was beaten, imprisoned, shipwrecked, like I said. He had suffered greatly in his time, in his ministry. And he says in here in Philippians that God had taught him how to face all of these circumstances to God's glory. And I have heard people complain about their circumstances that God was expecting too much of them. That serving God costs too much. And here, the Apostle Paul, he says that in all these circumstances, even in riches or in poverty, that God had taught him how to face those circumstances to his honor and glory. I have also known people who were wealthy who said, you don't know what it's like, the temptations that are thrown at us. You don't have to deal with those things because you're not a person of wealth. So I've heard people on both extremes. I've heard people who are struggling with very painful circumstances in their life saying, it's easy for you to serve God. Your life is smooth. And then I've heard people who were wealthy. God has given me the opportunity to know some people personally who were truly wealthy individuals. They didn't have to work for a living anymore. Some of them have said to me, you don't know what it's like to be a person of means, the temptations that are thrown at you. So I've heard the excuse, I can't serve God, from both those who are in struggling with their means and their circumstances of not having enough, and those who have a lot, both saying, you don't understand my circumstances, I can't serve God. It's easier for you. But the Apostle Paul says here, he says that he's been in both circumstances of, as he says, abounding, of having more than he needs and not having enough and still being able to serve God. And how does he do it? He makes this statement. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Can you please bring up the outline? Blank screen. this statement is the entirety of my outline. But emphasizing various aspects of it. In Christ, believers can be victorious in all circumstances. First, the all circumstances, or any circumstances, any circumstance. Notice here in our text, he says, I can do all things. And I say circumstances here, not activities, but circumstances, because that's what he's been talking about. He says, he talks about his circumstances as something that he does. He says, I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. I know how to hunger and to be satisfied. These are circumstances of extremes. He uses, there's a practice in, there's a term for it, and I forget what the term is. But there's a way of referring to the whole spectrum of a thing by referencing its opposites. Like, you see that a lot in Hebrew. The evening and the morning being the day, those are the opposites, the opposite points. The extreme points refer to the whole. And there's several examples of that in the scriptures of using the extreme points of a thing to refer to the whole. And so by him saying, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound, he's referring to that whole spectrum of want and need, you know, having a surplus and having a lack and everything in between. So all things. In Greek, it's literally just the word all. But it's an adjective in Greek, and in Greek, Greek is a heavily inflected language. What that means is you can change the word, its form, to indicate different grammatical relationships and such. So this particular form of the word all is panta. Panta is a neuter accusative plural. So that's why they supply the word things, because it's neuter. So it's not referring to an idea that's masculine. It's not referring to an idea that's feminine. It's neuter. And then it's accusative because it's the direct object of the verb. And then it's plural. So that's why it says all things. You know, things, plural. But it's just the word all. And the verb, I think this is interesting, because in English, it's a verb that we don't have this. We have to have a lot of words to say, we have to have several words to say the one verb idea that this is in Greek. The concept of this verb, it's ischou, and ischou means to be strong. And when it takes a direct object, it means to be strong in relation to that object. So they translate it, I can do, because that's the close, you know, that's that works. It's an idea, you know, that doesn't have a direct correlation in English, you know. It would be kind of awkward verse to say, you know, I am strong in relation to all things. But that's the idea. I am strong. The word do isn't in here. It's the word to be strong, ischul. And he's saying, I am strong in relation to all things. What all things? The circumstances, the extremes of circumstances of having enough or having more than enough, having a surplus. He says that he is strong in all those things. Strong in relation to all those circumstances. So there is no circumstance that excludes you from being able to serve God. Now, your circumstances may put limits as to what you can do, may let's put it a different way. It may direct you into different lines of service. I heard it well said by a preacher. He said that if I go blind, I will know at that point that I no longer need my eyes to do what God wants me to do. And he had, in that same lesson, he had addressed someone who could not walk. And he said, well, God isn't going to expect of you the same things that would require a person to be able to walk. He said, God expects, you know, you, his, what he expects of you is based on what you can do. So a person who struggles with linguistics, he's not going to expect them to be a Bible translator. He's going to have a different use. You know, the Bible says elsewhere that the Holy Spirit has distributed to us gifts according to, you know, his purpose, his will. So I'm not going to have all of the gifts you do, and you're not going to have all the gifts I can do. And that's okay. I don't have to be good at everything, and nor do you. So, but that doesn't mean that there's ever going to be a circumstance where you can't serve God in some capacity. You will always, until God takes you home, you can serve God. Having too little does not keep you from serving God. Having too much does not keep you from serving God. No matter the state of your circumstances, you can serve God. He goes on and he says, please bring up next point. Can be faced. So the I use the words can be faced because of that being strong in relation to them. I have counseled with people who were struggling with sinful temptations in their life. No reason to go into detail or anything like that. But they were making excuses for their giving into it. And I told them, I warned them, I said, as long as you talk in those terms, as long as you do not accept, because they were saying that their circumstances prevented them from obeying. And I said, as long as you do that, you are going to struggle in your Christian life. God has given you everything you need to be victorious in Christ. There is no circumstance. Any circumstance can be faced. Now, God may take you and put you into different ministries. I think of Gracia Burnham and her husband and what they faced in the Philippines, that they had been missionaries and they were held hostage. And Martin Burnham died. You know, that would have broken a lot of people. But Gracia, by God's grace, didn't allow that to break her. And not only did it not break her and end her service to God, it changed her service to God, but in many ways expanded it. And so God may change your circumstances, but this isn't going to ever eliminate your service to him, but it may change it. It may move you into different places. I've told my children, I said that they're what God wants from them right now, you know, as we grow older, what we can do changes. And I've told my children, I said, what God wants from you right now is you to obey and to learn. I said, you need to focus on prepare, you know, on us helping you to prepare to be a fully functional, you know, servant of God. I said, then when you're an adult, then it will be your job to labor, to serve God actively. But right now, what God expects of you as a child is to obey your mommy and daddy and to learn the things necessary to equip you to be a fully functional adult Christian. And you know, when God set up Israel, he told the elders that it was their job to teach the younger generation. You know, I think, you know, a lot of times I hear people talk in terms of wanting to get the point with their savings and what have you, that they don't have to do anything anymore, that they can spend the rest of their life on the golf course or something. I knew a guy that his whole goal, he had never been married, never had kids, his whole goal in life was to save up enough money so he could move on to the beach in Florida and just spend the rest of his days living on the beach in Florida. That isn't God's plan for us. That in our elder years, as Christians, what God wants from us is to help the younger generation learn how to be good Christian adults, to know what they need to do, to take the life lessons that God has taught us and helped us in our understanding of his word and how to live our lives, and to pass those on to those younger than ourselves. And so God always, even in our changing circumstances, always has a role for us to fulfill. He wants us to continue to serve him and serve others. So any circumstance can be faced to the glory and honor of God. Next, please. As a Christian, notice the words here. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The word translated through is literally the word N. If you were to write that in English letters, it would be the letter E and then the letter N. That is their word, which corresponds to our word in, like I'm in the house. So you could literally translate this in Christ. So I can do all things in Christ. Or as I said to you before about that, the understanding of this verb is huo, is I am strong in relation to all things in Christ. This is not a promise to everyone. This is a promise to those in Christ. As a Christian, Christ, if we are in Christ, this promise is true of us. That we can face any circumstance to his honor and glory if we are in him. How can we do that? Why? What is it about being in Christ that enables us to face these circumstances to his honor and glory? It's because he is the one strengthening us. It's a complex grammatical structure here in Greek. The phrase, which strengtheneth me, it's literally that whole phrase, you know, it says, through Christ which strengtheneth me. In Greek that goes, en to en dunamunti me Christo. So literally, that would be in the and strengthening me Christ. So he writes this, that the giving him strength is an adjective or a descriptor of Christ. That it becomes a characteristic of him, like saying he's tall or strong or thin, healthy. it becomes a characteristic of Christ that he's giving Paul strength. Consider that in the Gospels, Jesus told his disciples, he said, without me, you can do nothing. We just went through the book of Colossians. Consider that when it talked about the supremacy of Christ in relation to creation, it says that all things were created by him and all things through him consist. That is, have their being and continue. Right now, as a Christian, Christ, you have a living connection to God where his grace and power is flowing into you. And it's flowing into you because of the conduit, which is Jesus Christ. Christ made a connection between you and God, a living, real connection. This word translated strengthen is most often translated as to be able. It's the word from which we get dynamite and dynamic. And it's also the word from which we get dynasty. It means to be able. So you've heard the phrase enabling. This is the enabling Christ. The Apostle Paul can face this extreme of circumstances in his life and go through great suffering. You know, beaten so badly he can't lay down. Stranded in the ocean. Hanging on to wood in order to survive. Facing perils, you know, repeatedly. Traveling. You know, travel now is easy compared to what it used to be. Much of travel in ancient times was on foot. And you don't have refrigerators. You don't have soda at all. No cola. I read a thing where Europeans had to get used to drinking cold drinks. Because in their entire history, they didn't have refrigeration. So they were used to drinking either heated drinks or tepid drinks, but not actually chilled drinks. The most you could cover would be 20 miles in a day, and those were on decent roads. And if you were a very robust person who could walk that long, you know, you figure average person can cover 3 to 4 miles walking per hour. How many hours can you walk continuously?
30 minutes.
and then likely having to carry a sack on your back that has your personal belongings. Now, because horses were expensive. And so much of his travel was on foot. I read a man who said that he had been reading about how Christ traveled from one city to another on foot in Israel. So he said that he was in Israel and he decided to see what that was like. He said he came away with a very great respect of the hardiness of our Savior after he made that trip on foot. So travel was very hard. And the Apostle Paul went through all these hardships. But he also was a person who had learned how to enjoy abundance also, that the temptations that come with abundance hadn't destroyed him. And he says, how do I do these things? Because I am in this Christ who is giving me strength, who is enabling me to face these things. Not about him, but about Christ. Everything we need comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. For, for righteousness, for godliness. We don't need anything else. We have all of the resources, the power to do it. We need God's word to tell us how we should live. But the ability to do that, that comes with being saved. Conversely, though, consider Christ's words again to his disciples. Without me, you can do nothing. This strength only comes in Christ. This power only comes in Christ. I had a man who was speaking to me about the concept of hell and how he thought that that was just absolute nonsense and a terrible teaching. And I told him, I said, you don't understand what is really going on here or what the Bible says. I said, you're not paying, you don't have the whole picture here. I said, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything good and pleasant comes from God. Bible says that he is the source of life. He is the source of light. He is the source of love. I said, hell isn't this horrible thing that God, out of spitefulness, is inflicting on the unrepentant. Hell is living without God. I said, you can't have life and reject God because there's nowhere else to get it. You can't go to another power company to get life. There's no other source. This is God accepting the decision of the lost because he wants a love relationship with us. He doesn't want slaves. He wants children. And so love has to be chosen for it to be love. Without that choice, it becomes a violation. No, it has to be by choice. But the sinner doesn't understand what he's rejecting when he rejects God. That means he's rejecting every good and perfect gift because those gifts come from God. When we receive God's love, we're receiving God himself. And if we reject God, that means we reject love. We reject light. We reject life. We are, in effect, telling God we want death, darkness, and despair. Hell is not some spiteful infliction by God. It is the natural consequence of living without God, existence without God. It must be suffering. It must be terrible agony. Because you're existing without every good thing. That is hell. This isn't God in anger, wanting to spitefully smite you. This is God giving the unrepentant sinner what they asked for. And that is to be without him. I've had lost people tell me that they can't face the circumstances that they're in, that they need various stimulants or drugs and such to get them through it. And you know what? From their perspective, they're telling the truth. As far as what they have, they don't have the strength to face those things because they don't have God. They are without the power The Bible says that those in the flesh cannot please God. They don't have the ability to do it. Not just that they won't, they can't. It is only in Christ that we can have the power to face these terrible pains and circumstances. It seems every so often I read about some rich and famous person committing suicide. People talk as if only poverty destroys a person. But it doesn't take much reading about the rich and the wealthy to realize that great wealth destroys a person as well. Without Christ, he says, you can do nothing. They can't face these circumstances without him. That's why they need Jesus. Because they are cut off from the source of life and light and love. And God wants them to be joined to them so that he can heal their wounds, so that he can fill them with his life, light, and love, and enable them to face all circumstances to his honor and glory. But it's only in Christ. So then, we ought to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see people struggling and suffering, instead of despising them for turning to their false answers, we ought to love them enough to share with them the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves them and wants to give them life and light and love, and wants to enable them to face these circumstances. And Christian, if you're sitting here, I know you're facing various struggles, whether physical struggles, financial struggles. All of us are facing, to one degree or another, struggles with our own temptations. Don't look for your ability to face these struggles to the world. Look to Christ. Look to his strength. His power will enable you to do what you need to do in Christ, to face these circumstances to his honor and glory. You can be poor and serve Christ. You can be rich and serve Christ, but you need Christ to do it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you bless now and be with us. Lord God, I pray if there's anyone here who's lost, that you might work in them, that they might receive Christ now, that they might be saved, and that they might receive the gift of love and life through you. I pray for my fellow believers that if they're sitting here facing various struggles, that you might work in them, that they might understand to turn to you for the strength to face these things. Bless now, Lord. Work in us and through us, I pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus, pray these things. Amen.